was asking you about Woody Johansson, if you'd known him since he was knee-high to a grasshopper. He's pretty tall, but you should see his boys.
Yeah.
They're
all growing big nowadays,
sons,
it seems like.
Holy smoke, they almost go through the ceiling. They're really tall boys. Uh-huh. Nice boys, too. Uh-huh. So, did you know, did Bruce Robinson work for the road commission here?
Oh, yeah, Bruce. Bruce worked here. He worked several years ago. When he was a youngster, he came over one day looking for a job, and I told him to go home and grow up. Well, he went home, came back the next day, and I put him to work.
Oh, that's a good story. Because I bet there are 100 every week go in there and ask him for a job.
Probably.
How old do you think he was when he came and asked you for a job?
Whoa, I don't remember now.
Just a high school
now.
Kid?
I don't remember just what it was even now.
What did he do? Just...
I don't even remember that now.
Poking stakes in the ground?
I don't remember what.
He's in charge of maintenance now for
this
area.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
He seems to be.
He does a really fine job.
Mm-hmm.
He's really, really accommodating to the public.
Yeah.
And
of
course,
yeah.
The public is always screaming
uh-huh.
at him about something, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They do, I think, a really fine job for the people they have.
Undoubtedly. Undoubtedly.
Well, when you left the road commission here in 1950, November 50, then there was the Richardson Highway came here, terminated here.
Mm-hmm.
The Alaska Highway. What other roads in this area were, what other major highways were?
Well, it was the Richardson, Steese, Elliott, and of course you rode out to Esther. And we had just started construction on the Chena Hot Springs Road. We only had it built out about 10 miles or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That was about the size, and the Farmer's Loop was in then. And that's about it. Gee, now why you go out here and heck, I see roads all over the country. We went over to Livengood one day, and on the way back, I noticed a road branching off out there by Fox. I asked John Sevilla where that went. He says, I don't know. Well, the other day, we got a car and was driving around here, and we went out here, and that old Esther siding on the railroad just beyond the university,
yeah.
And here's a sign that says Sheep Creek. So I started out down that road, and got down here, and here's another one that says O'Connor Creek. Well, I knew where O'Connor Creek was. So I started up that road, expected to go up to O'Connor Creek and end there, but got up there and it just kept on going. And I kept thinking and thinking, well, now where in the heck is this going to lead me? And finally I happened to think, well, I think maybe this is the one that comes out at Fox.
That's where
so
you
it
were,
kept
yeah.
on going and got there.
Yeah.
And the last week we started out and went out, turned off the first one out here beyond the university down toward the old Chena pump station.
Yeah.
And the first thing I knew was up on
Chena Ridge.
Yeah.
When my husband and I were looking for some property in 1950 or 51, we were thinking about homesteading up on Chena Ridge,
mm-hmm.
but there's you couldn't even get up there in a Jeep in the spring.
No, you couldn't get up there with
anything,
man.
So we ended up buying property from Dr. Bunnell.
Oh, yeah.
And we're on Yankovich Road, right? Well, we're just about one half a mile from Yankovich's farm,
mm-hmm.
on top of the
mm-hmm.
ridge there, where the old...
Yeah. Is Yankovich still alive?
No.
I didn't know.
I can't remember... I'm trying to think when he did die. It
mm-hmm.
was... We started building our house in 57 and moved out there in 58. He was still living then.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
it was about 1960 or so that
mm-hmm.
he died. But I'm not certain on that. I'd have to
mm-hmm.
look up somewhere. I don't know where I'd find it out.
Well, I don't even remember exactly where his place was, but was his place right there where the... where the muskox are now?
Right.
That's what I thought, but
the
I wasn't sure.
The muskox farm, the university acquired that property.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
they put the muskox farm
yes.
there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's his old farm.
That's what I thought, but on account of all that land that was been
yeah.
cultivated
mm-hmm.
there, it had been cleared and cultivated,
mm-hmm.
and I figured that's where it was. I had been back up in there many years ago, but
there's just a little old wagon road through the trees.
Yeah, that's all.
There's still parts, still traces of it through the woods there.
Yeah, but the you take so many of these places now, the appearances have changed so much on account of all this vegetation that has grown up in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
It's something terrific. Going up the Steese Highway, we used to be able to drive along there and look down to the fishing holes and see if they were any good, but you can't now. Can't see the river at all. The timber's growing up so high alongside, you can't see out of the road.
That's that delicate ecology of Alaska.
Yeah.
What'd you think of Elton Busby's little talk today?
Well,
on his ecology bit, I thought
that
was pretty
ecology
good.
Deal, he was just right.
We were standing right on some of that delicate ecology, you know, it used to be just swamp.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Mosquito ponds.
Sure, that's right. That's right. No, he hit that right on the head, and I don't mean maybe.
Some of those early farmers that he mentioned, or whom he mentioned today, did you know quite a few of those people?
Well, I knew 99% of them.
Yeah. I enjoyed that. I taped it, I hope. I don't know, there was so much noise there, I don't know if I got anything.
I enjoyed that very much because he mentioned so many there that I hadn't heard of them or thought about them for years.
For years and years.
And he didn't get them all in even, but he got the biggest part of them. He missed one or two, but he got, there was one that used to have a place out here at Esther, used to be called Esther Siding, Strawberry Joe.
Oh yeah, that old house is still there.
Yeah.
That old cabin is still there.
He never mentioned him. And then there used to be another one here in town. I don't remember his name. If somebody would mention it, I would know it. He used to be over here on Garden Island, in the late teens. In fact, he was there when I came here in 20, but I can't remember his name. But Harry Badger and Walter Crick and all the rest of them other old-timers that he mentioned today. There was that man Brown that he talked about making the moonshine up here. I don't remember him. That is, I just can't recall now having known him.
Well, you know where the Busbys were then in those days was out there, and some Strawberry Joe was way out there, and that was a long way.
Oh, that was that was a long ways apart. Is right.
They didn't have automobiles to, to whiz back and forth in those days. Well, when you first came here, then. Were you married at the time?
No.
You were married later.
Yeah, not until, when was it? In the 30s sometime.
In the 30s, I see. So when you came here to Fairbanks first, where did you live? Where did you live? In a dormitory for the...
There was no dormitory. The first place I lived in Fairbanks was the old Nordale Hotel.
Nordale.
It was down there on Front Street, across the street from... it was right across the street from the end of Blanchfield Street there. It was right in there. It was the old Fairview there,
Fairview,
and then the North, and then
the
Nordale
was next to it. Yeah. The Fairview burned here about, 6 years ago or so?
I haven't any idea.
I'm not sure. I'm bad on dates. I should...
Well, I am too.
I'm not a very good historian.
I can't remember dates that way or years very well.
And where are some of the other places that in Fairbanks where you lived? Were they houses or log cabins hotels?
I was trying to think after that where I did live while I was at. I was here on the railroad that one summer. I just don't remember where I did live. And then, it must have been along about in... Now, in 23 or 24, I bought a log cabin down there on Wendell Avenue from Mrs. Bob Geis. It's 321 Wendell Avenue. And lived in that then until the time we left. I enlarged it and sold it to Joe O'Day. Have you ever? Do
is
you
it
know where
still
the place
there?
Is? It, oh yes, it's
still there.
It's still there. It looks just as good as the day that we moved out of
it. Is that right?
And at the back of the, right at the back door, there's a big spruce tree there that's about 35 feet high. One evening, my wife and I were out on the old Badger Road, and I went out and dug up that birch tree with my hands. I didn't have a shovel and a pickup. I dug it up with my hands, you know, just in frost, in the moss on top of the permafrost. It was about, oh, maybe 3 feet high, and I planted it at the back door there. When we left, it was just a perfect Christmas tree, about those 10 feet high.
So, it's a spruce tree?
Not a birch, a fir. Spruce.
Spruce.
And when I sold the place to Joe O'Day, I told him, I says, if you cut that birch fir tree down, I'm going to come back here and haunt you. Well, I came back up 3 years, and the tree was still there, and it had grown quite a little bit. The first day after I got back this time, I went down to see if my tree was still there. Well, it is there, but I didn't recognize it. It's about 40 feet up in the air.
Oh, well, that's great. Still there. Yeah.
It's still there.
And the house still looks good.
And this house still looks good.
Yeah. You know who owns it now? Did you stop and talk?
I think Joe O'Day still owns it. I'm not sure.
I'll be darned. Yep. That'd be interesting to find out, because that's, you know, it's so easy to cut a tree down.
Yeah. And then we had one, two other lots there with a cabin on it. That the missus bought the one cabin from a fellow named Lawrenson. And they burned it down here a few years ago. When they burned it down, Kay Kennedy had an article in the News Miner about it. All these bunch of these old Teamsters used to gather down there when a little fella called J.D. Nickel lived in it. And of course they had spread some pretty wild tales. And Kay wrote about that and told about who the past owners of the place were. Well, I'd been the last owner before for quite a while, but said I was in California and had passed away.
Uh-oh.
Well, some of the folks here got a hold of Kay Kennedy and told her that I was pretty much alive. So here, a couple of days after that, here come out in the News Miner, an apology to Frank Nash. He is still alive and living and so on and so forth. Well, then by golly, it went on, and 2 years ago in Seattle, they had a get together of ex-Fairbanksons out at Bothell. And somebody, I don't remember who it was, told me, says, Kay Kennedy is here. She wants to see you.
Did you get to see her?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sure. I got to see her.
She says,
was my face red?
Yeah. She was supposed to be here this weekend.
Oh, she was?
She's in Anchorage right now.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
And she's staying with Phyllis Carlson. Do you know, you remember Dick Downing?
Dick Downey?
Downing, D-O-W-N-I-N-G.
Downing, I think so.
Yeah, he was, let's see. Well, anyway, Phyllis Carlson is at the, she's at the library in Anchorage.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know if Kay is staying with her, but she knows where Kay is staying.
Mm-hmm.
But she's doing some research on a book on early aviation in Alaska. Not just a, you know, biography on pilots, but the real history of aviation and when first planes came, and the Civil Aeronautics Board and the government, and, you know, a lot of things. And so she was supposed to come up, and she was going to stay with me, but I heard that she got together with Bob Reeve, and he has all these old piles of records.
Well, imagine.
Of the old Civil Aeronautics Board decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to go through that and get them. So she's in Anchorage now. So.
Oh, yeah. I might see her over there.
Yeah. How long do you think you'll be down there?
Well, I have an idea. I'll be down there for a week or so. While I'm there, I want to hop over to Valdez drive over there. And
when you're in Anchorage, where will you be staying?
I'm going to stay with Johnny Cooley.
Johnny Cooley. And he's with the FAA. I'm going to call Kay. And I have to call her on something else. I'll let her know that you're coming down. Maybe she, maybe you get a call from her.
Yeah, okay.
She'd probably get a big kick out of seeing you. Well, when you and your wife were living here in Fairbanks, did you belong to the... You belonged to Pioneers then?
Belonged to the American Legion. And, gosh, that's... I belonged to the American Legion. The Elks. Well, past Exalted Ruler of the Elks. Past Commander of the American Legion Post here. Past Department Commander. Past President of Igloo Number 4. And what else is there around here?
There's the Eagles.
No, I didn't belong to the Eagles. I missed that. I belonged to the Rotary Club at one time. And the Moose.
Was your wife interested? Was she active in any
of them? No, she wasn't active in any of them. The only one she belonged to was the American Legion Auxiliary and the Pioneer Auxiliary.
Well, if you belonged to American Legion, then you served in World War World War One.
Right.
And were you? Did you enlist here in Alaska, or tell me how you got into that?
I was in Seward at the time, and prior to now wait a minute, I don't remember just where I registered for the draft for World War One. Whether I registered in Seward or Seattle, but anyhow, I gave my home address as Seattle. See, that was just shortly after I'd came up. And everybody was leaving, going out and enlisting and everything, so I left Seattle. My induction papers passed me someplace between here and Seattle. They were headed this way, I was headed that way. So I got down to Seattle and that was it, period.
So where did you serve? In the Army?
Yes, in the Army. I only put in about a year. That was over with. Come right back to Seward.
Well, did you go overseas?
No,
or were you in the States
all
the time?
No, I didn't go overseas, no.
This Ed Jano I talked about earlier, he was drafted in, or enlisted, I guess, in the, and served in the, well, he got it. No, he said he got drafted in the Army, and he'd had a little bit of experience with boats, not very much, and they switched him over to the Navy. Mm. He worked in the Navy Yards there in the San Francisco area.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
His experience with boats was very limited, he said, because he had spent one season in Anchorage, or on the Stikine River, dredging with two other fellows, dredging and, I mean, clearing the channel for navigation, blowing up stumps.
Oh, yeah.
So, but to get back to you and the railroad, Anchorage started because of the railroad.
Well, they started working out both out of Seward and out of Anchorage.
Well, when you first saw Anchorage, what did it look like?
Oh, gosh. It's hard to tell.
Was it a town or was it just a camp?
Well, it was a town when, by the time I got there. You see, I worked in Seward the summer of 16. Then I believe it was that fall was the first time I got over to Anchorage. And as I remembered, it was just a madhouse over there, and there were quite a few tents, and Front Street was still a streak of mud, or Fourth Avenue it was, they called there. It was just a streak of mud, all frozen by the time I got there, and I only stayed a few days that time. And then I didn't get back to Anchorage again until 1920.
Mm-hmm.
After the war, when I came back, I worked and got up as far as Girdwood, which is now there where they got the big ski resort.
Alyeska,
yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a beautiful area now. Have you been in there since
no,
it developed?
No, I haven't been in there.
Hope you have a chance while
well,
you're in
Anchorage
to
I hope
in
to,
there.
When I get over to Anchorage, I'm also going to try to find time to get down to Seward.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great.
Going to try to get down there if I can. I think I can make it. Just depends on how much... how long it takes me to get over to Valdez and back. That's a big factor now.
Mm-hmm.
But the heck of it is, I got to be back to Seattle by the 3rd of August to get to my eye doctor. I stall him off for a week as it is. I can't very well stall him off for another week.
Yeah. I'm going to go to Valdez this summer. I haven't been there for about 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's really beautiful country.
Oh, that is beautiful country down there.
Did you spend much time in Valdez?
No, I never spent any time. Just to go down there and maybe stay overnight and back. That is all.
I went down there. At the time of the earthquake, I worked for the News Miner.
Oh, yes.
And I went down there right after the earthquake. And I made about, I think I made, about 15 trips to Valdez. Mm. And that next, about the next year and a half time frame. When the town was moved and going through, had lots of problems in their move.
Oh, you know, undoubtedly.
But it's a beautiful sight now.
I want to, that's what I want to go. One reason why I want to go, and see what the new place looks like and one thing and another. And then there's one boy over there that I know anyhow that worked for me here in the early days. I want to see him. And there's also some other people.
What's his name?
Bob Redding.
Bob Redding?
Mm-hmm.
He still lives in Valdez?
Yeah. Yeah, he's still there. At least he was last I heard of him.
Did you know Owen Meals?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I know him, too. Well, that's another one I know in Valdez. I didn't think about him.
How about the Days? Walter Day and his... You must have known some of the Day family.
Seems to me I did now. Seems to me I did. Didn't they have a cannery over there?
Yeah, they had a cannery on the other side of the... Well, let's see, what side? From the present town of Valdez, it's across the bay.
See, that's it. A lot of these people haven't heard of them or darn thing for years. You hear their name now, kind of rings a light bell, and then after you think a while, well, it comes back.
Mm-hmm. Well, did Bob Redding work for you up here in this area, in Fairbanks?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you'd be surprised at Owen Meal's house when you see it.
He'll be surprised because he don't know I'm up in the country at all.
Yeah.
He will be surprised.
He built a house on the new section of town, but he built it up, and it's a very modernistic place. I haven't been inside of it.
Oh, yeah.
I guess it's really a beautiful thing, you know, and they just, it just seems to the people, some people who've known Owen Meal's, an old pioneer, lived there all his life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He builds this very modernistic thing. An old pioneer type building, a very modernistic home.
Oh, yeah.
From what I understand, it's a really, really beautiful.
And there'll probably be some around Glen Allen that I know too, but I'm not sure.
Did you ever know the McCrarys at Copper Center?
McCrary? Wasn't he the marshal there?
He was the marshal, yeah.
Years ago.
Well, his wife is there. He's dead now. He was attacked, and here again, I can't pick the year out of my mind, but. He was a marshal down there, and he arrested a drunk Indian one night. I think it happened in 56 or 57, somewhere in there. 55, maybe. At any rate, he arrested this drunk Indian and was taking him to the pokey. And the drunk fella grabbed a tire iron.
Hmm.
And just beat him. Nels, his name was. Nels McCurry.
Oh, I'll be darned.
Beat him over the head, and it almost killed him.
Huh.
And he never did fully recover from that. Finally died.
Darned.
But his wife is, she goes back there every summer now, and she's they're still in the same house there across the trading post or the grocery store. Mm-hmm. So if you go through there, well...
Oh, I'll be darned.
Be sure to stop and see her. She'd...
Where are they at? Is that at Copper Center?
Yeah, Copper Center.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm.
Same house that they lived in. And her daughter, one of her daughters who lived outside, is back up there, and she works in the post office.
Oh,
now,
yes.
Copper Center. So.
Yep.
Well, I hope you get to get over to Valdez. I hope you get to Seward.
Well, I'm going to make it to Valdez for sure. But it just depends on how much time I have. It's whether I get to Seward or not, because it's been so darn long since I've been over there. I don't think there'll be a soul there that I know.
Oh, I bet there will be.
Well, I don't know. I kind of hay me dooch.
Well, you know, let's see. Seward always sends somebody to the Pioneer Conventions. They have a delegation.
Well, they probably have.
What's his name? little goatee. Jewish fellow. Oh, shoot, I know his name as well as I know my own name. I'll think of it in a minute. They sent a delegation
Saul
to...
Saul Urey,
yeah.
I don't know if I ever met him, but I've heard an awful lot about him in one thing or another.
Well, just look him up. He'll find some people you know.
He would find him, I suppose, if anybody would.
Yeah.
But, oh, I might find somebody.
Well, when you first came here... For the road commission, they weren't using horses for horsepower in those days.
Practically all horses, yes. In the early in the 20s, yeah, they didn't get any tractors or anything until the late 20s. And I believe that when I took over as superintendent here for the old road commission, they had about 4 tractors and dozers, which is the extent of them.
When did you take over as superintendent?
Permanently on the 1st of January, 1930.
And about that, and at that time they had about 4 tractors.
Mm-hmm.
How about road graders? Did they ever have any road graders at that time?
Oh yes, they had. Of course, before that they used the pole graders with horses for power.
Well, this Dick Callahan I mentioned earlier, who sort of headquartered out of Nenana,
mm-hmm.
he told me one time that he built the road from the little wagon road, I guess it was at that time, from the railroad up to the campus, and he used horses. He worked for the road commission mm-hmm. at the time, and he helped build that first road from the siding on up to the campus.
He probably did.
Do you recall any road building around the university itself?
Around the university?
Well, in that area.
Oh, yes, yeah, sure. Sure, we built the first road up into the university there. And, I don't remember just when it was now, what year, but sure. And over to St. Patrick's Creek and all them in over in there. Worked on all of them, too. Well, Dick worked for the road commission off and on for a number of years.
I guess
but
so.
Just where, I can't recall.
Yeah,
now.
I think he just kind of moved around, like some.
Oh, yes, he'd be here one month and someplace else the next month, and he'd hop all over.
Did you and your wife ever go over to Circle Hot Springs during the winter?
Oh, not during the winter, no.
Go in the summer over the
been over to summer over summertime several mm-hmm. times. No, I never went over there in the winter. Well, the only time I was there in the winter was one winter. Donald McDonald and I made a trip over cross country from some hot springs over to Woodchopper Creek
mm-hmm.
over on the Yukon. For some reason or other, they were talking about and thinking about maybe building a road from. from Circle Hot Springs to Woodchopper, which was later mined by Dean Patty.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you, too, it escaped me up until now, until you just mentioned it, about Donald McDonald. Did he work for you, with
no,
you? Or?
No, he was separate from this district at that time.
Mm-hmm.
That is... At that time, Donald McDonald and I, and Ivor Quinbo, we staked out. We done the majority of the original survey work on the Steese Highway prior to the time I took over as superintendent.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I took over as superintendent, I think Donald went down and staked out the road into the Nabesna Mine. They're down the Chittenaw District, someplace.
His name came up last Sunday, a week ago today, at Nenana, and the railroad superintendent, who is mm-hmm. Walker Johnson, drew the audience's attention to the bridge there.
Mm-hmm.
It was designed by Donald McDonald.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if Donald McDonald, or I doubt that statement, because I don't think Donald was a bridge engineer.
Well, he got the credit last Sunday.
Well, that's all right. More power to him. Before he came up here and worked as a locating engineer, he was a draftsman over in the Anchorage office. He might have done the drawings. He might have done the drawings for it.
I see.
But I don't think he did the actual designing.
Yeah. Well, was he a graduate in engineering?
How's that?
Was he a graduate in engineering?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. He was an engineer.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe he did then.
Maybe he did. I wouldn't say that he didn't, but I kind of hemmy dooch.
Well, I met him, as I told you, I'm a Chichaco, but I did meet Donald McDonald because my husband knew him and his family mm-hmm. very well. He had gone to school with all the McDonald children here in the university.
Met one of them last night, Flora.
Yeah, Flora, yeah. They called him the father of the Alaska Highway.
Yeah, he's the first guy that started talking it. And, of course, there's no money for any survey or anything of the kind, but he drew it up on maps, and one thing or another, he got a hold of all the geological maps that he could get a hold of and traced it in, followed the contours on the maps as close as he could and traced it in, and they come pretty close to following his projected route.
He's still known as the father of the Alaska Highway.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Was his more promotional or suggestion on his part, or did he actually go down there and do any actual surveying through Canada?
No, he never done any actual survey work on it or any other kind of work on it other than just promote, and he done plenty of that.
Yeah.
But at least as far as I know, he didn't.
He promoted the concept of the
That's
road
right.
that could follow certain
yeah.
valleys mm-hmm. and mountain ranges.
That's right, yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to switch this off for just a minute.